Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle David Vig. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day to give you praise, to give you all the glory and honor. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to sit at your feet. We are grateful for all that you have done for us and all that you continue to do for us. We glorify you and we magnify you this day. Lord, we come before you according to your word in Colossians 1, 9 through 14 as we pray this prayer over ourselves. From the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God. With fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition, I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. And I give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Today we're talking of the God Restoration, Part 3. Our foundation scripture that we're using is in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. It says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past. From the most ancient time in the memory of man." Now, there's some key words here that are being used. It says that if we desire restoration in areas of our lives, we need to repent, change our mind and purpose. Now, I want to read the same account in the Passion Translation from verse 19. Through 21, and it says in verse 19, it starts off by saying that, and now, first of all, this is Peter, he's preaching to the crowd, so we have to understand the context in which he spoke or said these things. He's speaking to the crowd, and he's telling them about the healing, because he had just, Peter had just healed this man at the gate, beautiful gate, this crippled man, got up and suddenly started to walk and leap and praise God and everything. And so people were stunned by that. And so these crowds now surround Peter, and he's telling them, he begins to explain to them why this man was healed. He's asking them, why are they amazed by the healing? Why are they staring at him and all that stuff? And he tells them, so let me just read it from verse 12 so we get to 19 so we fully understand what's going on. And so with a crowd surrounding him, Peter said to them, "People of Israel, listen to me. Why are you so amazed by this healing? Why do you stare at us? We didn't make this crippled man walk by our own power or authority. The God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has done this. Glorify his servant Jesus, the one you denied to Pilate's face when he decided to release him. You insisted that he be crucified. You rejected the one who is holy and righteous and instead begged for a murderer to be released. You killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead, and we stand here as witnesses to that fact. Faith in Jesus' name has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in the name, in Jesus' name, that has made this crippled man walk right in front of your eyes." And then he says, "My fellow Jews, I realize that neither you nor your leaders realize the grave mistake you made. But in spite of what you have done, God has fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets long ago about the sufferings of his anointed one. Then we pick up here in verse 19 through 21. It says, and now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed and so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. And he will send you Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one, for you. For he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through his holy prophets. So this is it's interesting that Peter speaks this way to them. He's using, when he speaks in verse 19, when he uses this word, you know, he's saying to them, repent, you know, for what? And now you must repent and turn back to God. So it's not just a question of saying, Lord, I'm sorry, and forgive me for my sin and walk away. No, restoration occurs when you have fulfilled, you know, you've fulfilled what salvation is all about. Here he's telling them, first of all, they have to repent of their sins and turn back to God. Now, the word that he uses there, he uses a Greek word, epistrepho, which talking about being converted, that turning back to God is, you know, not just saying, I'm sorry, Lord, for the sin that I committed, and then, no, you have to turn back to God means get saved, basically. That's what he was telling them, that they needed to be born again, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that their sins can be removed. And the word used for, you know, removed there is canceled or obliterated. And it's a Greek word, exaleto. It means canceled. So he's basically telling them, repent, you know, so change your mind and your purpose. Turn back to God, meaning that, you know, give your life, return to God, or, you know, give your life back to God. Repentance and return is more than just a passive changing of one's mind. So it's, you know, it turn back, come back to God, be converted. So it's not only talking, really in this context, it's not only talking about those who, you know, have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but this also applies to those who may have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and, you know, fell and went back into the things of the world. And so you have, you know, we all have an opportunity to come back and rededicate our lives back to Christ. So to repent of all the, you know, the ways that we have walked in, to repent of the sins that we have committed, or, you know, whenever we stepped away from, you know, God's will and purpose for our lives, we've fallen into sin. When we have unforgiveness in our hearts, unforgiveness and anger and jealousy and envy towards others, those iniquities hinder us from receiving God. And those iniquities are considered sin. If you recall in Isaiah 59, and we can go there real quickly, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible says that God's hand is not shortened. It says, but behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened at all, that it cannot save, nor his ear dull with deafness, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And then it continues. It tells us what these iniquities and sins are. It says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. You know, none sues or calls in righteousness, but for the sake of doing injury to others, to take some undue advantage. No one goes to law honestly and pleads his case in truth. They trust in emptiness, worthlessness, and futility and speaking lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth evil. I mean, you go on and on in verse 9. It says, therefore are justice and right far from us, and righteousness and salvation do not overtake us. We expectantly wait for light, but only see darkness, for brightness, but we walk in obscurity and gloom. If you jump on to verse 12, it says, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know and recognize them as rebelling against and denying the Lord, turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and muttering and moaning from the heart, words of falsehood, you know, goes on and on. And so, you know, it's important that you read Isaiah 59 when you get a chance. But one thing is important in verse 13 here. it says that, well, verse 12 says, our transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our sins, we know and recognize them as rebelling against and denying the Lord, turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt. That speaking oppression there is speaking things that God has not said. So when we line up with the words of the enemy, then we are speaking words of oppression. When we call ourselves sick, you know, when God has called us healed, we're speaking words of oppression. When we say, I can't do that, when God says we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, we're speaking words of oppression. When we say things that are not lining up with the word of God, we are lying, you know. And so all that causes us to be separated from God. And that's why Peter even told the Jews of that day, repent and change, turn your ways, change your purpose. Same thing with us. We need to repent and come back to God. If we've been saying things that are not lining up with the word of God over our lives, you know, we've been speaking words of oppression over ourselves, and we've been opening the door for the enemy to come in and oppress us. You know, so restoration begins right at the very beginning. Restoration is not just because we've confessed a prayer point, oh, Lord, restore me, and that will happen. We've got to check our lives. What have we been saying? What have we been doing? Have we been lining up with God's words? Have been, you know, when we speak words that are not of God, that, you know, we are lying, or we are also opening the door. The Bible says we're speaking oppression and revolt, you know, conceiving and muttering and moaning from the heart, words of falsehood. When we murmur and complain, those are words of falsehood. So the Bible is telling us exactly the things that we shouldn't be doing. And so here we see that if we need times of refreshing, and that times of refreshing, it's similar to what God did. When you recall, when, you know, in the Bible, it tells us that before Adam fell, God used to walk with him in the cool breeze of the day. So what is the times of refreshing in our time? Well, the work of the cross, what Jesus did for us on the cross, that brings, it begins the restoration process. So as we enter into relationship, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So this is key, because if we want restoration to occur, we start with salvation. Now, it's important for us to understand what salvation is. Salvation is actually taken from the Greek word soteria, meaning to rescue, to deliver, bring to safety, liberty, release, or cause preservation. This word is actually, in the Greek, it's linked to the concepts of forgiveness, healing, prosperity, and restoration. That's what salvation is all about, you know. And so a lot of times we don't understand, or most people don't understand or have a narrow view of salvation. Most times people think salvation is a way to escape from the deadly consequences of sin, and repentance is viewed as striving toward moral purity. And so therefore they believe that if we ask Jesus to save us and we in turn live good lives and clean lives, then we have a ticket to heaven. Well, this view is not only leads to a distorted and somewhat legalistic relationship with God and each other, but it totally negates the overall joy and true benefits of salvation, because the true benefits of salvation are to rescue, to deliver, to bring to safety, to liberate, to release, or cause preservation. Amen. And so all of these benefits are actually implied within the word that gives us Christians our greatest hope and joy. Without salvation, there is no restoration. You know, so there's no hope for getting back on track, on the track that God intended for us, both collectively and as individuals, from the foundation of the earth. There has to be salvation. And so because God planned and a purpose for each and every one of us individually, the first step is into entering that plan that God has is through salvation. It's salvation through Jesus Christ, not just saying the sinner's prayer and then letting it go at that, but allowing the forgiveness, that healing, and prosperity and restoration to penetrate every part of our life. And so this salvation is so key, because most of us have not reaped the benefits of the salvation. We just stop at being rescued or being delivered from, you know, the kingdom of darkness. In our prayer, our salvation prayer, our Colossians prayer that we do, we usually pray from Colossians 1, you know, 9 through 14. But verse 13 and 14, it talks about how God has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's conveyed us into the kingdom of, or transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of his love. And then it talks about in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. And so in order for us to experience this restoration or experience times of refreshing in our lives and experience restoration of all things. Now that restoration of all things that is we're being told about is, you know, the God is talking about what God will send for us that's already been prepared for us through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Amen. Heaven must remain, or Jesus must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things. Or this is talking about universal restoration. Amen. The heavens have to receive Jesus until the times of universal restoration. Again, the word restoration in Greek is apokatastis, which infers the restoration of creation to the state of existence before the fall, but also the Davidic covenant being restored. So the covenant God made with David, that is going to be restored to us. Amen. And so, in fact, when you study the word or this term of restoration that Luke uses here, it's talking of restoration to perfect health. And so restoration to perfect health, God is concerned about our well-being. So he's not only concerned about, you know, material goods, but he also wants us to be restored to perfect health. We saw that in the account of the woman with the issue of blood, where Jesus, you know, spoke after she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he said to her, "Your faith has made you whole." So God is in the business of only restoring to us the things that we have lost through, you know, the fall and through sin in our own personal lives, because Jesus came back to bring that restoration back to us. However, there are times that we open the doors to sin, especially if we don't know that whatever we're the activity we're engaging in or whatever we are saying is actually sinful in God's eyes. So yes, Jesus came, he bore our sins and our sicknesses. You know, by his stripes we were healed. On the cross, he took our sins, and our sins were canceled. However, we normally would open the door by forms of iniquity and sin that hinders us from receiving from God. So it's not necessarily that we're breaking the Ten Commandments, or we are going out there and committing, you know, sin. We may be saying things out of our mouth that doesn't line up with the Word of God. You know, for instance, in the area of healing, you know, God wants us to be restored, and Jesus has brought us that healing. He bore our sins and our sicknesses, and yet we engage every day in talking about sickness. Oh, I'm not feeling well. Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, the doctor said, and we line up with what was done in the natural rather than what the Word of God said. I was talking to somebody recently who I prayed with them a while ago, and gave them scriptures to stand on, and I said, speak the Word of God only, regardless of what is being said out there, regardless of the reports that come. You need to stand on the word of God and you need to speak the word of God. Well, this person, you know, we pray and this person goes back and, you know, leaves me a message telling me how sick they are and this and that. I said to them, listen, this is the problem. You are not lining up with the word of God. You are in bed with the devil, because when you start talking about the negative things, you are speaking oppression. You are opening the door for the enemy to come in. That's an open invitation. I said, if you had just stood on the word and just spoke what the word said, then you would be lining up with God. So I'm using that example to say many times, we may not know that what we're saying out of our mouths or what we're doing is actually a form of sin. And so that brings us back to the place where now we are separated from God, to what Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 is talking about. And that's why there's need for us to repent of the sins that we have committed knowingly or unknowingly. Unforgiveness. Somebody hurts you and you're holding on to unforgiveness in your heart. That's sin. It's a blessing blocker. It will block your blessings from coming. That's huge. A lot of times people are holding on to unforgiveness for things that happened 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. They've never let it go. They won't even speak to the person. So you're still holding on to anger or resentment, you know, and unforgiveness in your heart. Well, times of refreshing are not going to come if that's what is going on. So again, a person like that would need to repent and return back to God, meaning ask God for forgiveness of those sins and return back to turn your heart to change your purpose and come back to God. So there are things that we do, things that we say. If you're murmuring and complaining, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. How are we going to pay these bills? We don't have enough money. Oh, Lord, this is going, things are going so bad. Don't you see things are just, prices are going up so much. Oh, my God, we don't know what we're going to do. Well, when you murmur and complain like that, you are lining up with the plan of the enemy and not the plan of God. And so, again, the word of God here told us that we are speaking oppression and revolt. You know, so when you speak oppression over yourself, that's not the will of God for you. So you take yourself out, you take yourself away from under the, you know, salvation benefits that will bring restoration. Amen. And so it's so important that we understand this process of restoration, that it does begin with salvation. God is very much wanting us to be restored to complete health. He wants us to be restored in every area of our life where the enemy has stolen from us. So, for instance, if let's say there's a couple that have been believing God for the fruit of the womb, and God blesses them, and then something happens, which, you know, because they lack knowledge, they accept the plan of the enemy and have a miscarriage. It looks like there's a miscarriage. And then they go with what the doctors are saying. Well, they're not lining up with the word of God, because the word of God says none shall be barren and none shall lose her young by miscarriage. That's the only scripture you need to stand on. You know, so you see signs of that happening. You begin to declare the word of God. No, I will not have a miscarriage, because the word of God says none shall be barren and none shall lose her young by miscarriage. And so miscarriage is not my portion. But when you accept it, and this has happened to many people, who have accepted that, and then, you know, it's lining up with the plan of the enemy. Well, you get into the place where you've been speaking, you know, oppression over yourself and agreeing to what is not God's plan for our life. God is a faithful God. If he says none shall be barren and none shall lose their young by miscarriage, he stands by that. And we've seen it time and time again in our ministry where people, situations like that have occurred. And we've stood on that word, and, you know, the full proof. They've had their children, and their children are still living to this day. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because a person like might be, you know, going through in their heart, deciding, well, you know what, I'm never going to try again. You know, I'm never going to do. I don't know. That was just too painful. I can't, you know, I'm feeling hurt. I'm brokenhearted, and I can't move on. Well, what happens is the minute they make that decision, they're standing or lining up with the enemy and not with the word of God. Because God did not say, because the enemy has stolen from you, that he will not restore. And so if they can't see restoration, they won't experience restoration, they won't experience the times of refreshing. Why? Because they've lined up with the enemy. And so again, that is cause for when you do realize that, oh, I'm, you know, not in, you know, line with the will of God, then it's cause for repentance, repenting and returning to God. So this is not, this scripture here is not just talking to sinners, it's really also speaking to us who are Christians, born again, have received Jesus Christ, and we've confessed him as our Lord and Savior, Holy Ghost filled. There are so many things that we be doing that in God's eyes are sin. We are not living right by, you know, in terms of how God, you know, sees it. That is why one of the things we pray about daily with using the Colossians prayers is that we want to walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, that is fully pleasing to God. Why? Because we desire to please God in all things. And as we please him in all things, we'll begin to bear fruit in every good work. We'll grow, we'll increase. And as we increase in the knowledge of God, things around us will begin to see the increase as well. And so when we are not lining up with the will of God, or when we don't recognize the necessity for true life-changing salvation, then we are missing out on what God wants to do for us. And there can be no restoration. But when we do recognize, you know, the true life-changing the salvation that we've tapped into, it's the only true source of restoration, Jesus Christ, then through Jesus, we are not only restored back to God our Father, but we are also forgiven, we are also healed, and brought into that place of prosperity. Now, this is not just talking about finances. God wants us to prosper in everything. In fact, in 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper in every way and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So these 3 areas, he wants us to prosper in every way, meaning he wants us to prosper in our finances, in our marriages, in our relationships. He wants us to prosper in our businesses, in our careers, in ministry. He wants us to prosper in every single way. Then he also wants us to be in health. He wants us to live a life of wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. He's speaking shalom to us. Then he also wants our soul to prosper. And so a lot of times the things that are held in our soul, the hurts, the anger, the emotions, the thoughts, of memories, and everything hinders us from being in proper alignment with the will of God. And so if we want to experience this restoration and times of refreshing, we need to work on our soul. We need to work on, you know, the things that are blocking the restoration from taking place. Yes, Jesus restored us back. He's given us benefits. But like I said, there are many times we open the door to the plans of the enemy and we line up and we get into bed with the enemy, maybe knowingly or unknowingly, and that hinders us from receiving this full restoration package that God has for us. So what do I want to say before we close today? We'll continue tomorrow and conclude a bit. But we must make sure that we watch our mouth. What is coming out of our mouth? Is it lining up with the word of God? What are we thinking? You know, is it lining up with the word of God? What are we, you know, are we murmuring and complaining? If you're a warrior, a person who worries and, you know, experiences anxiety and you're always, you know, murmuring and complaining, well, you need to change that because you won't experience the times of refreshing and restoration that God wants for you and I to have. And so there's different things that we need to watch. We cannot speak oppression over ourselves. You know, if God has not said it, then we don't say it out of our mouth. We only say what he has said. And if we don't see it in the word, we don't speak it. Yes, we may get a report that says, oh, this and that and this and that. And that's fine. Thank you for the report, but that's not my portion. That's not the will of God for me. You know, when there's lack in your life, don't agree with the plan of the enemy, because the plan of the enemy is that you lack. The plan of God is that you prosper. And so don't sit there and agree with the plan of the enemy. Oh, we don't have anything. We don't know. Don't agree with that. You have to agree with the word of God. It says, let the poor say, I'm rich. And therefore, you will say you're rich. Don't say, oh, no, we never have money. No, you can't say that. You're lining up with the plan of the enemy. You need to line up with the plan of God. So stop speaking oppression in your own life and giving the enemy access to come in and to destroy. Or this thing that people sometimes do, oh, I've been praying and praying and God hasn't answered me. Stop saying that. You're accusing God of not answering, yet God is working behind the scenes to bring to pass what he has promised. But he can't because his hands are tied, because you keep lining up with the plan of the enemy by saying things that are not lining up with the word of God. And so you need to repent. You need to turn back and come back to God wholeheartedly and begin to speak only what God says. If God hasn't said it, I don't care if it's your toe hurting. You are healed. You can't sit there, oh, Lord Jesus, I am so sick. Oh, I am so sick. No, don't line up with the enemy. Don't invite him into your life. You see, we've got to be very careful, making sure that we don't speak oppression and lose the benefits of salvation and lose our restoration that God desires for us. So if you want to be and walk in times of refreshing, make sure you focus on, get before the Lord, repent of your sins. 1 John 1:9 says that if we repent and confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's so much that we do. Jesus has done so much for us. The power of what he did on the cross he made that available to us, but then sometimes we don't fully understand that. And so we continue to live like we did before we were saved. And so therefore continue to keep the doors open that we opened before we were saved and continue walking down those paths. And that's what causes things to seem like God is not doing anything when we pray. No, God is doing something, but he's also waiting on us to line up with his will and purpose for our lives. Since we're out of time this morning, we'll continue tomorrow morning by God's grace. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a blessed and prosperous day. Bye-bye.